Welcome to Being of Service, Staying Visual During a Virtual World. My name is Janelle and I am an addict. Please note that you will automatically be muted upon entry and will not be able to unmute yourself. The chat function is disabled, but host and co-host will respond to your request if you have any questions or concerns. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. If you'd like to give or get support, go to chat, select co-host, and message us your info. If you are new or if you're looking for support, please let us know. We want to hear from you and we'll do our best to help you connect with someone that can help. Thank you for being here and keep coming back. Our first tradition tells us our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity, and it is our collective responsibility to ensure that all our meetings retain an atmosphere of recovery. Our goal is to keep this a safe place. Harassment, disruptive, and/or inappropriate behavior of any kind will not be tolerated and may result in removal from the meeting at the host co-host's direct discretion. If you're uncomfortable in any way, or see anything offensive or disturbing on anyone's camera, please message your host with the login name and it'll be addressed immediately. We ask that you be fully dressed. Our seventh tradition, our seventh tradition states that every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. San Fernando Valley Area Convention has incurred costs to make this virtual event possible. We have monthly bills and we need startup costs for our 2022 convention, which will be hopefully held live. Any excess will be donated to San Fernando Valley Area of NA to help support the still suffering addict. If you'd like to contribute and are able to participate financially, here's the link. sfvacna.org. At the same site, be sure to check out our event-branded merchandise for sale. Can we please open this workshop with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity
To accept things that cannot change.
I cannot change.
The courage to change the things that I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you. I've asked Tracy has been asked to read Who is an Addict?
Hi, my name is Tracy. I'm an addict. Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death. Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy. Peggy, are you available to read How It Works for us this morning?
I think Sergio just raised his hand.
Okay. Sergio, please read How It Works for us this morning. Thank you for volunteering.
My name is Sergio. I'm a grateful recovering addict, and this is how it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. The next slide, please.
Sorry.
It's okay. 9, we make direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that would defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. 3 of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within in our society and everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you're like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking about alcohol that's different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately. But we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with the disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover. Thank you for letting me read.
Thank you so much, Sergio. Appreciate it. At this time, we would like to introduce our first speaker, Eddie W. from Connecticut, sharing, "I got clean during the quarantine." Is Eddie here?
Yeah, he may not be unmuted.
Let me I just unmuted him.
Okay.
I think I
thanks,
unmuted
thanks
him. Go ahead, Eddie.
Fanatic name Eddie from Connecticut.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi. Thanks for letting me be here. My topic is I got clean in quarantine. My clean date is March 24th of 2020. I got clean about a week or two after they shut everything down, and you know, it was interesting. You know, what happened for me is I tried to get clean about a month before that. All I did is went to detox, and you know, it didn't stick for me. And then what I did after that is I started going to Zoom meetings, probably five meetings a day, for a few weeks. And, the NA message, you know, I went to detox for a second time, and it was right after they shut down. And, you know, there was no rehabs open at the time. They weren't taking people in. You know, they tried to kick me out after 8 hours saying, "Oh, we're not really keeping people here because of the COVID." And, I said, "No, I got to stay here." And then, my temperature the next day was 99.1, and they said I had to leave. But you know, when I was in that detox, I was running around because there was no H&I, they didn't even really know about Zoom at the time, the treatment facilities. But you know, since I went to so many meetings, before I went in there, I was, not the timer, I was, the NA message was so ingrained in me, and it was just so ingrained in me. I was running around, "Hey guys, let's start a meeting. Let's do a meeting right now." And all the people were like, "Oh no, we don't want to do that." And, you know, so I was actually happy that I had to leave, because there was no meeting, and my recovery was not you know, it was not continuing. All I could do there was like sleep, but, and do nothing. So the NA message was so strong and it was like embedded in me that, you know, nothing was going to stop me. I was so motivated to stay clean. And that was entirely from, you know, these Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I continued to do 3 to 5 meetings a day. To this day, I still do 3 meetings a day. I've gotten clean entirely on the virtual platform as well as remote sponsorship. My sponsor lives 3,000 miles away in California. And I want to shout out to him, and I want to thank all my friends in the program for being here. So I went to a lot of meetings. My home group is in Alabama. It's called Stay at Home NA Alabama. It has about 12 to 20 people. You know, I like small groups. My second kind of home group is a meditation meeting. They do 15-minute meditation. And that has been huge for me and, for staying clean. I really love meditation. And, one thing I've done with steps, you know, my sponsor said write on a step 20 minutes a day and no more. So, I'm actually now on step 6. In my area, people do like one step per year, and I never understood that, and I don't know, it never sat right with me, but I've been able to do these steps, and it's really helped me a lot. I know my favorite step so far is step 2. Because there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of baggage, and once I did step 2 and was able to understand it and apply it, I believe that anything was possible. Like anything is possible through this program. And before that, I was just lost and I was just wandering around aimlessly. And like step 2 really, really helped me, thinking anything was possible. Like I said, I went to a lot of meetings, especially, the first 90 days. I know they say do 90 and 90. So I did 3-5 a day, 3 or 5. I don't know. I did way more than that. So I have 9 months clean. And I've probably done 1,000 meetings. Of course, if they were in person, it wouldn't be so easy to do. But I actually prefer the Zoom. I have a lot of anxiety, especially social anxiety. I don't like rooms of people. I was truly a newcomer coming in here. I had some clean time a long time ago, but I was out there for 3 years and I just came back on March 24th. And I was really a newcomer because I didn't even know the readings or nothing. I didn't know anything. I know in my area, I can never make connections with people in the live meetings. I've been able to make so many friends, over this virtual platform, and they're all around the country and the world. Another thing I did was service. I'm really good with computers. So when the shutdown happened, I had 2 weeks clean, and I put a live meeting on Zoom, and my sponsor wasn't really happy with that, but I had found somebody from the area, and he ended up hosting the meeting, and they got some of the service members from the live meeting to come on. And since I was good with computers, I basically started the meeting up, and the guy that was helping me said, "How much time do you have?" I said, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So I've been able to do service that way. And I know they say in this program you have to find your niche, and that's kind of what I did right off the bat when I started. What else? One thing they say, follow the winners. I use, my intuition, and, I follow the good people that I find. There's a lot of good people. I hang out with people that are on fire about the program. You know, one thing I was bad with was the phone. I have one friend that says, call your sponsor every day. That habit can save your life. That's one of the things I was resistant to. I think after 3 or 4 months, I finally decided, okay, so I started calling my sponsor every day. And, you know, that was really, like, annoying because, you know, we're talking about laundry. He said, I'm doing laundry. And, like, oh, my God. But eventually it got better. We were able to have more, you know, conversations about recovery. And I was able to open up more and come out of my shell. And I have a sponsorship family. I have sponsee brothers. And we meet once a week on Zoom to have a small literature meeting. And we also do group phone calls quite a bit. So, you know, this is all the things I did, you know, all through Narcotics Anonymous without having the rehab facilities. So for the time I got clean, it was nearly impossible to do a rehab facility. And, you know, that to me is the power of this program. Like once I went to so many meetings and that the honesty came out, and then the open-mindedness came out, and then the willingness came out, and it was just, I was just on fire from that point on. And, you know, I really wish, you know, anybody could get this program that, to me, it was just so many meetings and something happened, something snapped in my head, and, you know, it kept me on fire. You know, I was really fortunate to find a sponsor when I had about 2 weeks clean, and, you know, I know when I was here a long time ago, you know, I only did one step and I wrote an entire book. Basically, a lot of us do that the first time. And my sponsor at the time, he read two of the questions and that was it. And I didn't get anything out of that. And I didn't write any steps after that, you know. You know, I remember from not writing steps when I went to the meetings, I couldn't relate. And I couldn't share because I couldn't relate and I didn't know what people were talking about. But after working these steps, you know, I'm a pretty honest person. So I just say what I'm thinking. And, you know, all that stuff comes out in the steps. I'm currently on step 6. I'm almost done with that. I got stuck on a question about, you know, are you ready to have all these defects of character removed at this time? And I got stuck on that for a while. And like I said, I do meditation and I talk to other addicts. And, you know, at some point I was in a meditation and I became entirely willing. You know, it took some time. So, you know, I love the meditation. Let's see what else. Okay. Yeah, in isolation. So, you know, I have a loving partner that's also in recovery. So that's helped me get through this isolation big time. And just with this Zoom platform and staying busy and staying away from negativity and sticking with the winners. And these are all the things I did and continue to do to get clean and stay clean in the quarantine. And I think that's about my time. So I want to thank you all for inviting me and I'll pass with that. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eddie, for sharing. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Tara S. from Greater LA. And I am asking her to unmute herself.
Hi, my name is Tara. I'm an addict.
Hi, Tara.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Tara.
Hi. First, I want to say thank you for inviting me to come and speak. I was a little nervous, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, I just prayed and, you know, just asked God to speak through me. So that's what I'm going to do. My clean date is June 8th, 2020. I actually, when I got clean, I wasn't entirely ready to get clean. I was kind of forced to go into a treatment facility. And, you know, I kind of just, you know, just kind of went along with it until about my 60th day clean, when I met the most amazing sponsor. I started like really falling into it and really falling in love with NA. At the treatment facility, you know, usually you're able to see your family and stuff. We weren't able to see our family. We weren't able to go anywhere. We weren't even able to go to live meetings. So I've never been to a live meeting. I've only been on Zoom. And yeah, it's actually, I actually like the Zoom platform. I honestly can't wait till they open back up though, so I can, you know, experience those awkward hugs that everybody keeps talking about. But, you know, I deal with what I have, and I'm just, I'm happy to be introduced into something that's bigger than myself, because all I cared about was myself. You know, I'm currently on step six. I've been working hard and taking it day by day, just one at a time, just to continue to find the person that I am and continue to find out who Tara really is. And I have to say, it's been an amazing journey. You know, if it was in a family, if it wasn't for my sponsee family, and if it wasn't for my family, you know what I mean? I have the support and the love that I need from every one of you guys. I have the support and love I need from my family, and it just helps me keep going forward. You know, when I got this whole thing happened, and it was, I've seen it as being a to not get 100% clean, just play it off as long as I could. You know what I mean? I've never done NA. I've never been a part of it. I've never even really even heard of NA. So when I became a part of it, it became something that I started living my life by. You know what I mean? It became something that I don't think that I can honestly live without in my future. Like I said, this was honestly just a means to an end. This was a way for me to get the courts off my back. And by me doing that, it made me actually, like I said, fall in love with the, it's something I love, you know. I try to call my sponsor, not really all good with that, but I try to call her as much as I can. When I do have a problem, though, or when something good or bad happens, I know I call her, or I call my sponsee family and I talk to them. And, you know, I love having that feeling of somebody being there for me without wanting something in return. You know what I mean? That's very rare, especially in my life. You know, so I follow the five things that my sponsor told me to follow, which is being of service, doing your step work, calling your son. Oh God, what was the other two? prayer, meditation, and it was one more thing. I can't think of it right now, but yeah, I try to follow those five things and just try to keep, you know, moving forward. I have complete faith in this program. If you are a newcomer, just don't leave until the miracle happens. I know you've probably heard it a million times, but it's true. You know, many miracles have happened in my life since I've started this program. And even in the ups and the downs of my program, because I have absolutely have fallen back on NA. And if I didn't, God knows where I would be right now. So, you know, I really 100% believe in this program. And, you know, if you keep coming back and if you keep your faith and you keep your open-mindedness, it will work miracles for you too. I promise you that. Let me see. I don't know what else to say. But yeah, I mean, you know, I just welcome all the newcomers and just, you know, stay strong. You know, I have a little over 7 months clean. And, you know, I'm just trying to keep going and just keep taking it one day at a time and just, you know, stay in the mindset that I am about my, and I love my recovery. I'm on fire for mine as well. You know what I mean? And I'm going to continue to stay that way, because at the end of the day, my sponsor always told me, you get back what you give, but you put in this program. So I'm trying to put my all in this program so that I can get everything out of it that I can. I'm gonna just stop right there. Thank you for letting me share. And again, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Tara.
Thank you, Tara.
Awesome. Hootie hoo. At this time, I would like to introduce our third speaker, Jane from the UK. Jane, let's see if I can unmute you. Oh, she's unmuted. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, my name's Jane and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jane.
Can you hear me?
Hi,
yes, we can.
Firstly, I'd like to thank the committee for inviting me to come and share some of my life with you at this convention. I'd like to thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I'd like to thank my sponsor, my support network, and the meetings that I've attended on Zoom. I'd like to start by just having a few moments silence for sick and suffering addicts inside and outside the rooms in my local area. We lost a friend last night. I actually got a candle lit here for her. I've been crying quite a lot. I never actually met her, but she was a beautiful young girl and she's left two children behind. So I just wanted to have a few quiet moments, please. Thank you. So, my topic is getting clean in quarantine. For me, it would be clean on the screen. I came to Narcotics Anonymous back in December. And I only did a few meetings before we went into lockdown. In England, we went into lockdown on the 22nd of March, which was Mother's Day for us. I know some of you guys have different Mother's Days to us, but it was Mother's Day that we went into lockdown for me. And I remember that day very well because I myself am a mother and I wasn't with my mother. My mother is alive, but she wasn't with me when we went into lockdown. And I was very, very, I was only like, so I had got clean back in December, but I was still holding on to some prescription drugs. So I actually got clean on the 22nd of February. That's my clean date. So when we came into quarantine or lockdown, as we call it here in the UK, I only had a month. So, I had a sponsor at the time, and she led me to this meeting that is actually called AHA, Addicts Helping Addicts, a virtual Narcotics Anonymous meeting that's based out of Oklahoma, but it became sort of my home group to begin with. It was on at 8 and 1 o'clock in the morning my time, so I was able to go there and connect. And then from that meeting, because at West Midlands, my area where I live, we hadn't quite got it all together at that point. Or I hadn't found it at that point. And, you know, from that virtual meeting on Zoom in Oklahoma, I then found the New York Night Owls, which was just starting up a meeting, which is another meeting that I attended at 5 o'clock in the morning. Because to begin with, you know, I could not sleep. I suffer, you know, from PTSD. I've got some trauma issues and I couldn't sleep. So it was hard, you know. I live close to a hospital, a police and fire station. And back in March when it all hit us, you know, it was loud. We were coming into summer. It was getting hot. I live in a block of flats. I had to have the windows open. You know, it was difficult to sleep. I didn't want to sleep either because when I slept, it took me back to the pain that I had used drugs for so long. That pain would keep coming up, those memories, those flashbacks, those feelings. I would wake up in sweat. I didn't want to sleep because I didn't want to remember those traumatic experiences. So, you know, I spent a lot of time up at night and on meetings overseas in America. And there was one night I was on a meeting, and this lady appeared from nowhere, and she shared her story, and I could just relate. Like, you know, when you're sat in a meeting on Zoom, and you know, on Zoom, we can do all this stuff. We can cook a meal while we're on Zoom. We can, I don't know, we can knit if we want to. We can watch telly or play on the Xbox and stuff, you know. So I know some people do that. But, and I was on Zoom, and when this lady came on, I just sat up and listened. Not that I hadn't listened before, but there was something about this lady that I could relate to. I could feel what she was feeling and what she was going through. And I'd never met this lady before. In fact, I've never met any of my members of my support network, but some of them are here, and thank you for coming along and supporting you. I thank you. I can't see everybody, but I know some people are here. So thank you for coming. And I had a sponsor locally, but there was something that happened between me and that sponsor where the trust was broken. Something happened, and I'm not going to go into it. I don't have time to go into it. But the anonymity was broken, and she sacked me. And that was fine, because I was going to do it anyway, because it was about me. And it just so, you know, it so happened that prior to that, this lady that I'd heard sharing her story in the New York Night Owls, you know, I'd given her my number, but she hadn't been able to connect or get hold of me. You know, prior to that, she'd sent me through her number through a communication app that we use here in the UK, but you also use it in America and in various different countries. And, you know, I started going to hear her share. When she was sharing her, I would support her. I got her to come and share where I did service, because that's another thing. When the West Midlands in my area started back up, I got heavily involved in service. I was doing like double digits of service a week because I didn't know what else to do. You know, so service was huge in the beginning for me. And meetings, you know, I lived on meetings, but obviously I ventured further afield than my local area. You know, I still do service in my local meeting, the West Midlands Night Owls, that's currently running a Getting Clean on the Screen speaker jam at the same time as this. So, but I can't be in two places at once. You know, I'm just hoping that their speaker jam goes well, and I'll make some donations later. And, you know, so I do service there. Then I had, you know, I'd met my sponsor, who is now through this communication. And when it broke down with the other sponsor, I just asked her, and she lives in Sacramento in California. And I didn't know if she'd say yes, but she said yes. So then I went on to, phone her for 30, you know, contact her for 30 days consistently. And, you know, I've got some sponsee sisters that I think are here to support me. You know, we have sponsorship, you know, I did that. We have sponsorship meetings, you know, working through the basics at the moment. You know, I'm a bit slow on my step work, I must admit. But I've gone through some other painful situations during this time. You know, I haven't seen a single soul since my birthday last year, which was September. I haven't seen my mom in longer than that, which is nearly a year, or my dad. I have two beautiful children, and they're not with me. And that isn't... because I wish I could blame it on the disease of addiction, but it's not. I was involved in a narcissistic relationship, and they were removed from my care after I'd fought for them for a long time, you know. So one minute I was a mother, and the next minute I wasn't. And that's when I picked up drugs, because I didn't know how to cope with the pain of losing my children. And it's been hard during this time because I haven't been able to be part of the outside organization where I get support with that, and the support to help write the letters to the adoptive parents. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. My mental health has taken a bit of decline, so I'm under mental health anyway. So I've had to, you know, I reach out for support for them. You know, it's been hard not seeing anybody, not a single person. Living in an area where I used, going out of my flat every day, walking uptown, walking past people that offer me drugs on a daily basis and saying no, ducking and diving, hiding in shops because I don't want to use. I don't want to use, you know. It took time for me to get to this point, though. In the beginning, you know, I'd be on my local meeting and the members would hold me, you know, after midnight because that's when I got paid. That's when I go out and get my drugs normally, you know, and they would hold me and they would wait until that point where they shut the meeting down after the drug dealers had shut off, you know. And there's been a lot of tough times that I've gone through, you know, but I have an amazing sponsor, an amazing network of friends that appear in these lovely, beautiful little boxes. You know, any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. And, you know, I don't say keep coming back. I just stay. Just stay. Don't go anywhere. And I don't know if my time's up or whether I've got longer.
You still have more time.
Oh, gosh.
If you want.
You're doing awesome, Jen.
I'm just going to leave it there. Sorry. I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jane, for sharing your experience with us. Thank you. At this time, we do have a few more moments left in the meeting, and I've asked Raymond T. from Long Beach to share. Raymond, let me see if I can unmute you. Raymond T. Unmute.
Good morning, family. I'm an addict named Raymond T. I always thank God first and the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and welcome my new friends, you know, welcome to a life-saving journey, you know. That's what I found in Narcotics Anonymous. It's an honor to be here. Earlier, I was over at the UK event learning their history and how the fellowship expanded across the pond and worldwide. And I wanted to get back here to where it all began, you know, in San Fernando Valley, you know, so it was important for me to be able to get back here, you know. And this platforms allow us to travel around the world without no traffic jams and no screening, no, you know, it's what we have, you know. And my first experience was at the World Convention in Hawaii in 2005. Because of the geopolitical BS that was going on, the Iranian contingent of Narcotics Anonymous couldn't get into the country. So, you know, but they couldn't stop what God has put together. So on Unity Day that Sunday, we was able to include the Iranian family through technology like we're doing today as because of, you know, the pandemic is out of our control, but they can't stop us from doing what we do, you know, and that's to stay together, you know, in unity. You know, I didn't expect to be participating, you know. I come here so I can broaden my learn, you know. My sponsors always told me to stay teachable, you know. So, you know, I draw on the experience of the addicts that was here before me. My clean date is 1-7-2000. I just celebrated 21 years of allowing this process to manage my life, you know. And I got a life that I look forward to. When I got here, I wanted to die. You know, I had the Gucci outside with a 99-cent store inside, you know. I look good on the outside, you know, the money, property, prestige and everything. But, you know, the fact that I couldn't. Not, and I know I used to double negative stop getting loaded, because at the end it wasn't fun. You know, I wasn't getting high, I wasn't partying, I was just trying to keep myself occupied from really putting a bullet in my head, because life just didn't I didn't look forward to living life. You know, I was existing. And when I came around here, coming out of treatment, I joined the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And when I say I joined it, I wasn't just around it. I got in it because I got a home group and I got some service commitments. And, you know, it kept me connected. It kept me accountable. And the journey seemed to become simplified because I was part of, not apart from, you know. And, you know, those addicts that had smiles on their face and, you know, they was smelling good, looking good, and feeling good. And they was talking about tragedies. They was talking about successes. They was talking about loss of loved ones. And they was talking about not getting loaded no matter what. And that's all I really came around here for. But as a result of staying around here, I've gotten so much more than just not getting loaded. I got a life that I look forward to on a daily basis, to do God's work, to do, to be a maximum service, you know, to give back, you know. And being an only child, learning how to be selfish, self-centered, and self-seeking from before drugs had anything to do with me is growth, you know. Today I can experience the goodness of being human, you know, empathy, you know, things that I knew about, I just didn't have the power to pull off because of the self-centeredness and the self-seeking, you know, the societal values that, you know, I was born in the 50s, raised in the 60s, product of the 70s, smoked through the 80s, lost the 90s, and surrendered in 2000. And it was a hell of a journey. You know, I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. I've seen some things, I've been some places, and, you know, I just thought I had it all together, but I couldn't appreciate none of it. You know, I couldn't appreciate anything because, you know, I was broken inside. You know, I can tell you about the child molestation. I can tell you about the abandonment. I can tell you about all those things that I use as excuses and reasons to get loaded. And none of that stuff went away because as a result of getting loaded. But you all gave me a solution of not how to stop using, but now how not to start using. Because I had a history of stopping, but I never could say stop until I surrendered to this process known as Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's a worldwide fellowship. You know, as I said earlier, I was over with my mates across the pond. You know, we're humans, you know. You don't have to be in the rat race no more. You get to join the human race again. And, you know, they had the same issues and situations that we have here, you know, because people are people wherever you go. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing that we get to be part of. You know, in our symbol on the first page of the basic text, they have two words that really stand out to me, you know, and that's occult and esoteric. So if you decide that you want to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, you are a miracle, because we have miraculous things happening around here. We're really raising the dead, you know. We're really inspiring or to breathe life back into those that's broken and hopeless, you know. We get to pick up our beds and walk again. We get to be productive, responsible, and acceptable members of that society again, you know. It's a beautiful thing that we get if you choose to be a part of, you know. Those are the things that I learned. You know, I'm peacock pride and honeymoon happy to know I'm an addict today, because I know we have a solution for addicts. It's not a prison term to be an addict no more. It's not a prison suit, you know. It's not a cement suit to be an addict, because we have a process that's been God-given. Okay, I share the time. I see the time. It's God-given, and I know it's God-given because the American Medical Society gave up on us. They said we was 100% hopeless. They didn't want to have nothing else to do with us. So when man stepped aside, God stepped in. And I don't care what your God looks like or what it is. If it can be a group of druggies going in good early direction with the gift of desperation, dogs smoke backwards, we don't care. But the fact that God loved us as much as he loved everything else he created, he put a special process in place just for people like us. That's what makes us special. That's what makes us special in our creator's eyes. So join us, hang out with us, do the things that we do, and you too can recover, because we do recover one day at a time. Thank you all for allowing me to participate.
Thank you so much, Raymond T. Really appreciate it. I show 11:46, so we still have time for one or two more participants if anybody would like to raise their hands before we close out this workshop for 3 to 5 minute shares. I see four hands. Susie C. from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you. Let me unmute you. Unmute. Thank you, Susie. You're now unmuted.
You bet. Hi, lovelies. I'm an addict. My name is Susie from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you for asking me to share. What a lovely meeting. I was here to support one of the speakers who comes to one of the groups that I go to in the morning. And so it's always a pleasure to go around the world and see different groups and different people. I got clean this time virtually as well. I'm coming off a relapse after 7 years. My clean date is August 15th, 2020. Busily working through the steps, but taking my time to really think about what they mean to me. You know, it says in our literature that we can have superficial happiness, but that a deep transformation needs to happen for us to have that deep change of psyche and a personality change. And, you know, if I'm honest about the previous recoveries that I've had, I just superficially went through the steps. I never really internalized it. I have a lot of head knowledge, but getting it from my head to my heart was where I lacked. Thank God for the rooms of NA that you guys were still here when I crawled back in the rooms. And I've got an amazing sponsor. Same as what I've heard shared before, a wonderful and amazing network of sponsee sisters and other women that have a wide range of recovery from newcomers like me to old timers. And I need all of you in my life on a daily basis. I have my morning ritual of prayer and meditation. I also attend a meditation group that does 15 minutes of meditation in the morning. Which I love, and it's got lots of recovery there and a great way to start my day. I'm just finishing step three. In fact, that's what I was working on before I came to this meeting, was working on my step three in my work booklet. So I'm working on making that decision. And in some respects, it's pretty scary. I have some fear of vulnerability. And some fear still of being abandoned. And so those are things that I have to look at and I have to work through, and I have to pray for willingness and courage and draw on my faith and trust that I gained in step two to move forward through that. And then I'll talk with my sponsor more about that as we work through the step. So I'm just grateful to be here. I thank all of you. I'm originally from Riverside, California, so I'm an old Southern California girl myself. So I know right where you guys are at. Thank you for those that are being of service that have put this workshop on. And I hope everyone stays safe, stay well, and I'll see you out there in the virtual world.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you sharing. I have another hand raised. Chris O, I'm going to unmute you. And if you could share for 3 to 5, we'd really appreciate it.
Hello, family. Good morning. My name is Chris O, and I'm an addict. And again, I thank God for another day clean in Rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm truly, truly grateful for this, for the life that I have today. And I was glad to get home here at the last minute. I got a kite from a home group member that said San Fernando Valley was having a convention today. And I said, oh, I made it last year, but I didn't get a chance to stay. But I'm truly grateful that you guys continued on. You know what I'm saying? Thank God for the Zoom platform. We truly take advantage of this situation and stuff. You know, we got three awesome meetings all through this Zoom platform. Last House on the Block has continued, our home group that's usually on Thursdays out there in South Central Los Angeles. We are still going strong, you know what I'm saying? And I thank God for this. I think a lot of people out here, a lot of people on this platform know of us, you know what I'm saying? And we are truly grateful to be able to continue this journey and continue this message, you know what I'm saying, getting out to the newcomer. Newcomer being the most important person at this meeting. Knowing that, living that, and striving to continue in that is all what keeps me going. I love my life today. You know, thank God for the Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for having a life. You know what I'm saying? We are staying safe. Okay, we're not doing as many in-person meetings as we would like to. We're not doing too many at all. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we will get our chance to get back. You know what I'm saying? I know we will. I believe we will. You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful for all the people that still continues to come to our meetings and stuff, and the newcomers that we've met along the way. And yes, we are known in the UK, as Raymond said. Okay, we have a sister group now, Pajamas and Chill, you know, all the way in the UK. Okay, and all of a sudden we have one in Barbados. You know what I'm saying? We have another contact group in Indonesia, and we talk on a daily basis. Come on, thank God that we are moving around. The pandemic was a gift. Come on, man. Don't think of this as a situation that came in to fucking take us down. It was a gift because now it's gave us a wake-up call. You have been given your wake-up call. Get honest. You got your wake-up call. Now what you going to do with it? We're going to continue. God loves you. So now it's time for you to start loving yourself. Give yourself a break, man. Take advantage of this freely given message of hope. I love Chris O today. He a pretty thing, too. Ain't he pretty? Look at him. He's a pretty thing. He loves himself today. That I can be able to love you. I thank you. And I'm gonna take it over. And I'm gonna take another 24. Because I'm looking forward to the next day. Come on. Thank you. I think that means I'm finished.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing. We do have a couple of hands raised, and we have time for one more share. Let me see. It was Rick S. is the next one on the list, and I'm going to unmute you, Rick S., so that you can share. Rick S. asked to unmute. There you go. 3 to 5, please.
I'm an addict. My name is Rick. It's good to see your face, Janelle, and welcome to the new people. Welcome to a new and wonderful way of life. You know, and I'd like to thank the convention committee for having the wherewithal to continue to have this be where it all began. You know, I'm just grateful, you guys. I heard that this convention was going on, and I made sure that I would log on to it, and what a blessing. I see people that I got clean with, you know, and what it reminds me of for me and for somebody else on this platform, where it all began for me was in Uncle Rob's living room, sitting at that table with the It Works How and Why and the Step Working Guide open and a big Webster's dictionary, learning about things like this is not a selfish program. It's a selfish program. Learning about things like, if I don't pick up, I won't get loaded. See, you guys, this is a don't use, don't program, you guys. But if you do decide to use, just come back, man. The shame is in not relapsing for the new people. The shame is in not coming back. So I just wanted to chime in and tell you guys how grateful I am. This is my 21st San Fernando Valley Convention, and I have all the magnets to prove it. I'm an addict. My name is Rick. Like little Steve always says, I'm always think like an addict, you guys. But thank God I ain't always got to act like one. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you for sharing, Rick. I'm just going by the format, and it says 11:58.
Helpless, you'd say. Hey, don't see, brother.
That's all the time we have for sharing. Once again, our seven tradition states that every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting. Janet, could you put, oh, there we go. Declining outside contributions. If you'd like to contribute and are able to participate financially, go to sfvacna.org. At this time, I have asked Audra to read the Just for Today and close our workshop with the third step prayer. Audra, let me find you so I can unmute you.
unmute. There you go, Audra, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Hi, family, Audra Attic. Just for today, tell yourself, hi. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. And after a moment of silence, please join me in the NA third step prayer.